Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. This is now the fourth week of the Lenten season. Our focus in our service today is that we see God's heart of grace, His mercy, His love that rescues us sinners. We begin, O Lord, teach us your ways that we may walk in your truth. You comfort and help us day by day. We trust your loving care. You are the King of heaven and earth. We give you praise and thanks. We pray, Lord Jesus, you invite us to pray and promise that where two or three are come together in your name, there you are with us. Answer our prayers and fulfill our desires according to your wisdom and love. Strengthen us in the knowledge of your truth and grant us life everlasting. Amen. We confess our sins. Lord God the Father, we thank you that you have given us your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have borne in your sacred body all our sins, and by your blood have blotted out all our transgressions. We thank you, Lord the Holy Spirit, that you have created in our hearts true faith, and that we trust nothing else for our salvation except Jesus Christ and him crucified. O God, grant us your grace that we may perfectly believe that all our sins are forgiven through the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so enlighten us by your Holy Spirit that in the power of our Redeemer's death we may put off sin and never forsake our Lord Jesus Christ until we see him face to face in life eternal. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. The prayer of the day reads, Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you graciously to cleanse us from all sin, to comfort us with your salvation, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God. Our first reading comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin reading at verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. This is God's word. Our second lesson is the epistle lesson for today from Paul's letter to the Ephesian congregation, chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is God's word. We confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now turn then to our message for today. If you have a tender heart, I think the worst words that you could hear from your mom would be, "Shame on you. Shame." That's a tough word to hear, to feel shame. Do you agree or disagree? Jesus felt no shame. Well, why would he? How could he? He didn't ever do anything wrong. What could have he done to suffer shame? The answer is he hung on the cross. Every sin from Adam to the end of time became Jesus' sin when he hung there on that cross. I was there. And you were there as well. Yours and my darkest sin was there. Our deepest secret was there. Yes, Jesus' shame reveals more than anything else. It reveals God's love. And the love of, in the cross, the love of God, we're going to see is revealed, received, and reflected. Here's the text from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is God's word. For some, it was becoming more and more apparent that Jesus was not your run-of-the-mill rabbi. In the way Jesus spoke, he spoke like no other rabbi spoke. In the way he did things, no other rabbi could do it. So under the cover of night, the Jewish leader named Nicodemus went to Jesus to learn more. Did Nicodemus go to satisfy religious curiosity? Did he go to fulfill a spiritual emptiness? Maybe a little bit of both. But Jesus said in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus draws a comparison. What is the comparison? Well, the point of the comparison is that both the snake and the Son of Man was lifted up. Look at the cross hanging here in church. When the people looked at the snake in faith, and when people look at the cross in faith, they are saved. Snake looking equaled temporal life. Son of Man looking equaled eternal life. When I asked you to look at the cross, what did you do? Do it again. What did you do? You didn't do a thing. And that's a point that Jesus is making. New life comes through the cross, no other way. And to hammer that point home, Jesus continues with perhaps the best known passage in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, from time to time, people will ask a question like, oh, will Osama bin Laden be in heaven? If he asked for forgiveness before he dies, will he go to heaven? And now we could have used a lot of different names because a lot of different people are reminded of some murderous person that leads to that question. How about Hitler? Well, whatever the case might be, after that question about Osama bin Laden was asked, will he go to heaven if he asks for forgiveness before he dies? Before that statement could be answered, the person added, because I don't want to see him there. We know the answer. The answer to the question is, if someone would ask for forgiveness before they died, they'd go to heaven. But what about the comment, I don't want to see him there? Do you feel that same way? I think we have to admit that sometimes all of us are there. And that's what makes the love of God so remarkable. We've all been there. All. Throughout history, there have been monsters who don't deserve to be saved. Then again, neither do we. There are people who commit gross sins. Then again, so do we. There are people we know who disgust us with their behavior. But then again, so do we. From the year 1986 to 88, there was a hobo ship on the high seas named Pelicano. No one wanted that ship to come to shore. Bermuda didn't, Dominican Republic didn't, the Netherlands, Honduras, they all waved her away. She was rejected in Haiti. How come? Why was this ship the most unwanted ship in the world? It's because she was filled with 10 or 15,000 tons of trash. Sort of like people, sort of like you and me. That's what all of us are. No matter who we are, by nature we're unlovable. We're sinful. We're shameful. Yet God still loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to take our shame, our sin, our guilt, our death, our hell. In the cross of Jesus, God's love is revealed. But God's love is also received. Our text goes on, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. With the writer, Gospel John, put yourself inside a courtroom. You're the defendant. Standing in front of you is the judge. Standing next to you is your defense attorney. Accusing you is the prosecuting attorney. God is the judge. Jesus is your attorney. The devil is the prosecuting attorney. And the devil points at you and he shouts at the judge, this person is guilty of breaking every one of the books, one of the laws in the book. A thief, he's a fraud, a killer. He should pay for his sins with eternal damnation in hell. Then it's Jesus' turn. He approaches and simply says, there is no evidence of any wrong. He has kept every law in the book. He's perfect and should receive eternal life. And the judge renders the verdict. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. God sent his Son into the world to declare the world not guilty. And that not guilty verdict became ours personally when the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, you will not be condemned. We began with a question, do you agree or disagree? Let me ask you now, do you agree or disagree? You feel no shame. The answer is no, we don't feel any shame. The author to the Hebrews assures us that we should not feel any shame. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus took our shame. We stand before God as saints. Yes, in the cross, the love of God is revealed, the love of God is received, and the love of God is also reflected. Remember that ship that I talked about? Allegedly, the owners finally resorted to dumping all that trash into the depths of the sea. And that's what God did with our trash, our sins. He dumped them into the depths of the sea by dumping them on Jesus. And as a result, we can reflect God's love in our lives. The closing verses of our lesson. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God. Jesus is noting a clear distinction here between believers and unbelievers. Just as there is a clear distinction between light and dark, there is a clear distinction between believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers' lives are marked by two characteristics, selfishness and resentment. A selfish life is summarized by a poster that reads, "If I like, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If it looks like it's mine, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay it down, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours." Without faith, a person has no choice but to be selfish. A life that doesn't have Jesus at the center has themselves at the center. And another characteristic of those in the dark is resenting God. There was this guy in Romania whose wife ran off with another man, and he vowed to spend the rest of his life in a hole in the ground. He took that expression, "I want to dig a hole and crawl in it," literally. And he dug a hole and he lived in it. Unbelievers often use that same tactic. They spiritually crawl into a dark hole, and they take their resentment on God by blaming him, despising his word. Believers are marked by two characteristics, service and gratitude. By service, we mean more than just going to church. The service you do for Jesus really starts when you leave the building. 24/7 is a popular expression today, but it really only applies to two areas of your life, your faith and your family. And what drives your service would be gratitude. The gratitude for Jesus taking the shame of the cross and giving us the glory of heaven. The gratitude for the spiritual as well as the physical blessings that we have in our lives. And that gratitude then is evident when we in a caring heart reach out to those who are still living in the shame of their sin, darkness of their unbelief. John 3:16 is often called the gospel in a nutshell. It's all there, isn't it? The love of God for all of us, Jesus dying for all of us, the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts. Instead of being covered in shame, we are clothed in righteousness. Instead of living for ourselves, we live for Jesus, reflecting his love in our lives. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.